Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Miami, but is in St. Louis at the moment, and her preaching today is entitled, With God as My Judge.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, thus should one regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now it is, of course, required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. It does not concern me in the least that I be judged by you or by any human tribunal. I do not even pass judgment on myself. I am not conscious of anything against me, but I do not thereby stand acquitted. The one who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, do not make any judgment before the appointed time until the Lord comes. For he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will manifest the motives of our hearts, and then everyone will receive praise from God. I sit with Paul's letter in hand and find myself envious of his surety. I wish I could say that the judgment of others doesn't trouble me. I wish I could say that I do not pass judgment even on myself. I wish I could say that I'm not conscious of anyone with anything against me. But things are different for me. I've been socialized from the time I was very young to be attentive to human criticism and receive it as an opportunity to learn more about how I'm showing up in the world and try to do better. I've been trained to judge myself rather than others and hold myself to very high standards indeed. I've been schooled professionally to have my ear to the ground, listening for what might be being said about me, and proactive about addressing it. And when you get right down to it, what I said earlier isn't quite true. I don't wish I could say otherwise. The people who I've met have taken on Paul's attitude here as their own, and I've met a good number of them. Tend to be arrogant pains in the patooka, oblivious to the impact that they're having on others, and not necessarily the best students. They never think they have anything to learn. And I'm thinking about writing this back to Paul when I see his skinny little self headed in my direction. I can assure you, he looks nothing like his statues, where he's a big, brawny man with a bushy beard and a sword in one hand and a book in the other. The book part isn't far off, but good Lord, he is at best 5'2". Lucian, in his text Philopatris, says 4'6". I'll give him a few more than that, but not more than 110 pounds. And when he talks, his voice is unnaturally high and wispy, more like a woman's than a man's. The sad, wiry hairs on his chin look like a teen trying to impress his first girlfriend. Yet I rather doubt that Paul had a girlfriend. Neither scripture nor tradition suggest he ever had a wife, though for a Jewish man of his time, it definitely would have been expected. I've heard that once he had a certain swagger when he was hanging out with the Pharisees. If he couldn't be brawny, he had aspired to be brainy. But now he definitely had a pronounced limp, a lingering injury from the time he'd been beaten up and tossed in jail. A remnant of the boat crash off the shore of Malta? I don't know, maybe it was recent. But maybe his legs had always been a bit crooked, and the purported swagger more of a facade. Maybe his hairline had receded very early in life. And if so, I could picture that this man coming my way had been picked on long before his studies with Gamaliel, probably long before he began any sort of study. This was the kind of man who probably had been teased and bullied and a bit on the outside of things from childhood. And that stance toward the perspective of others that sometimes comes across as so strident was probably instead the hard-earned freedom of a person who dealt with the unending critique and insensitivity of others his whole life long. Never mind the voice inside the head that says, you didn't do enough, you aren't enough, you'll never be enough. In other words, the voices so many of us deal with in our lives, for so much of our lives. As Paul draws nearer, I find myself less irritated with him than I so often am when I read him, and more curious, more sympathetic. I wish I knew more of his story that falls between the cracks of Scripture. I remember that I need to practice that stance of curiosity more often with the strident voices in my world today that, like Paul, often seem oblivious to their own contribution to the messes they can find themselves in. There's always a story there to ask about. And while I have no desire to come across as strident or arrogant, I do need, sometimes, to give myself the freedom to wonder. What would it be like to pay less attention to the judgment of others, some of which can be helpful for learning and growth, but lots of which can be projection and mean-spirited and diminishing? What would it look like to go a whole day without judging myself, without saying harsher things to myself than others ever say, without evaluating my every word and deed for how it could have been better? What would it look like to say, "In the end, God, your voice is the only one that really matters in my life," and then to rest in the fact that that voice is a voice full of mercy? Could not those questions, questions that Paul himself surely trained himself to ask over the course of his lifetime, not lead to a greater sense of freedom in my own life as well, making me more bold to say things that need to be said, less anxious, less hesitant? And maybe more than guarding against the perception of arrogance, I need to move in that direction today. Perhaps Paul is wandering in my direction to help me get right balance. And so I need to spend some time with him right now. And maybe you will want to do so also.